Welcome to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David. I want to welcome you guys to today's show. In this episode, we're going to listen to a word given by CK at a recent prophetic event. I know it's really going to bless you guys.
There's angels in here.
So you're going to like this, so I'm not going to take too much time setting it up. Please enjoy.
He said, it's time to call your money back into its created order. God bless you guys. It's so good to see you. And you know what? I can feel that kind of like nervous feeling that people have when we talk about money in church. You know what I'm talking about? There's sort of like an overall anxiety. It's either people that believe in giving and tithing get kind of nervous that the people who don't believe in it are going to have a problem. And the Lord gave me, and I opened up and I looked today at some of my I found a folder that had some of my dreams and visions written down from like the year 2000. That was literally the year, January 25, the year 2000, is when the Lord started talking to me about supernatural finances in dreams. I mean, just blew me away. And it just kept going. It was, I've called it, you know, like this series of dreams, and it still continues. And he told me, in the dream, because I'm like, Lord, are you really actually going to ask me to preach this? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, why? Why me? And I don't know if maybe I'm a little less threatening. He said, just take an average Christian, take them outside the church setting, ask them to be just honest, and say, ask them how they feel about money. And they would, if they're honest, they'll tell you, I wish I just had enough money to live, you know, to pay the bills and to still be able to, you know, the basics of life, take care of my family, take them on vacation, give to the Lord, give to the poor, that's the same as lending to the Lord. They would tell you that they would like to have more money than they have. And it really is all relative, because even people that seem to make a lot of money, so you'd think, well, they must have more than enough. No, they don't. Nobody does. I mean, in the naturally speaking, it doesn't matter how much they have. It's all relative. It's all tied up somewhere. So whatever it is, it's, you know. But he said one of the biggest lies that's been sown into the body of Christ was the lie that God does not want his people to have any money. And he said, I want my people free. He said, money is supposed to be money for souls, money with a mission. And Lord, you're going to have to fill my mouth, because I could just go 100 different directions, because that's about as many dreams as I've had, maybe more. I'm trying to put it together in a book. Have mercy. But you're talking about tithing and supernatural finances. The Lord told me that. And see, that's part of the new Gnosticism going on right now in the church world, where people are saying that tithing is not necessary. God doesn't, you know, we don't tithe anymore. I heard someone say one time, we just tithe in the spirit. Meaning they don't give any actual money. Well, that's really convenient. And this is what he told me about Malachi. Okay, this is where we're going, about tithing. He said, when it says, I have my amplified here, and see, giving is a grace. Money is actually, there's a grace for finances. There's actually an anointing for supernatural finances. He released it on us. Actually, he told me that's what was on us for years, and we just didn't realize that. Whatever you decide to do, money and authority go hand in hand. I'm just shotgunning. If you don't believe in authority, then you're going to have a problem believing for money, because money and authority go together. I'll kind of hitch up these. Okay. I might as well just say it. Okay, there we go. We got drenched on a ride, okay? I'm going to tell them that. We got completely drenched on a ride at 10:30 at night. It was so cold. I was saying, no, I don't want to go on that. I don't want to go on that. I don't want to get wet. And then he says, oh, you only live once, you know. Let's do this. And I'm like, okay. And we were literally drenched. I mean, from here down, soaking wet. They put us at the very front, and we didn't know that's where they get the wettest. And we went on this log ride thing called Splash Mountain. Oh, man. And we're like, okay, I can do this. I can make it through without getting wet. I can do it. I can do it. I'll just go like this. Oh, that doesn't matter if you go like this. I went around with the first thing like this. The water just came right up over the side and just whoosh. And that was that. And so we were just soaked and freezing. And why am I talking about that? It happened. Oh, because I'm hitching up my pants. Because... So it made me think of, because these things, oh, too stretchy. They were too stretchy. So I was walking around through Disneyland, hitching up these pants, and I'm just leaving a trail of water. And I'm sitting in a chair or sitting wherever and just leave a puddle of water when I walk off. And, well, you guys did it to me, so you can deal with it. And I'm so cool. Anyway, it was like getting baptized, kind of, except they might as well have gotten my head. All right, back to money. I want to say thank you, everybody, which Mike already did. Okay. You know, the book of Malachi is the Lord talking to his people, specifically the priests, which would now apply to us because we are a kingdom of priests. We are kings and priests under the Lord. And he was talking to them about their attitude because they were saying, what good is it to serve God? What good is it to bring an offering? What good is it to do any of these things? Did I do that pretty well? Get right back into it. And the Lord was hurt. If you read the entire chapter, third chapter of Malachi, especially the Amplified, really brings it out. Because down below all of the tithing stuff, he says in verse 13, he says, your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily and as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? And now we consider the proud and arrogant, happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper. Yes, and when they test God, they escape unpunished. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. And he talks about, and they shall be mine, and I will publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. You are the Lord's treasure. You yourself are his treasure. He considers you his jewels. Just a little side note. But right up above there, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes, and this is Amplified, so it's really going to be wordy. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues, and your washing machine breaking down, and your car, and for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed. For you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord said, for one thing, in those dreams he was saying, people in the body of Christ have been so beat up about money. And then they're told that if they don't tithe, they're going to be put in a curse. They'll be cursed. Or put their money under a curse or whatever. And, that's just wrong. That's not how God's doing. That's not what he's doing. That's not what he's talking about. He told me, well, okay, I'll just tell you what he told me in the dream. He said, the curse is already on the earth. because of when Adam fell, the curse arrived. And when we tithe, which is the tenth, he said, it's like circumcising your money. You're bringing it out of this world's curse, because money is neither, money is an object. It has no, it's not good or evil. It's just a tool. It's just a thing. You can pick up a hammer and smash stuff, or you can build stuff. It just depends on what you're using the tool for. It's a tool. There's angels in here. He said, it's time to call your money out and back into its created order. It was created before the fall. All the resources and everything in this planet were created for God's children. And then the curse came on the earth, and our money fell with it. Our resources, everything fell. The earth came under a curse. The Lord says, it's time to call your money back into its created order. Your portion, the word says, the portion, your portion is in the earth. That's in Ecclesiastes. It also says that he has given money an assignment to follow you. But so many people have been living under financial fear. We've just, as a way of life, we just live that way. And it's a spirit that keeps people from understanding, first of all, money, this inanimate object, it's here for a purpose. It's for God's people. All these billionaires out here are using it for the enemy's purposes. And the Lord said, if Donald Trump, he said this recently, not back in 2000. Actually, he talked to us about Donald Trump in 2008, but I won't tell you about that. If he weren't a billionaire, he wouldn't be the president right now. It's just a fact. Besides the fact that we voted for, well, I voted for him, keeping politics out. Nah, it's too late. And what we see going on a lot is the battle of the billionaires, because God wants to put the control and the authority in the earth back to his people. And so, therefore, we have to believe that it's his will for us to have it in the first place. And understand that it's a supernatural thing that God has given you. It has really nothing to do with your job, other than God gives you a job, but it doesn't, you are not limited to that job. He will get money to you however he has to, because he cannot lie, first of all, but also because you are anointed and money has been commanded to follow you as you obey God and live your life. And so when we, and so many people stumble over, I've heard it said, stumble over a dime, literally stumbling over a dime. That's on a dollar, a dime. That's what the tithe is. 10 cents. I mean, if you think of it that way, if you had a dollar, get a dime, put it in the offering, give it back to God. And that brings all your money out from under what the enemy had planned for it, and brings it back into the blessing. Out of the curse, into the blessing. The blessing is on your life. It blesses your money. It delivers you from that curse that was on that money, because what happened, it's no longer, none of your stuff belongs to the devil. None of it. All your material things belong to God. And you say they're under the blessing. Actually, they belong to you, because you belong to God. Is that making sense? It's an authority thing. Whatever you choose to do to obey God, money will follow you as you do it, and God will back you up. He will. It's a covenant. That's why God made covenant with Abraham, who was already rich, and then God just made him so prosperous people couldn't believe it. When Jesus taught in the Word, the words of Jesus, he was speaking to Israel, mostly. I mean, it's for all of us now. But at the time, he was sent to Jewish people who already understood that God wanted them to be prosperous. That was his will. It was always God's will for his people to prosper. It has never not been his will for his people to prosper. And that's a tough nut to crack sometimes, because we've all been taught not to. It's not okay. How do you pray in faith for something if you're not sure if it's God's will? I mean, just like healing. I didn't know if it was God's will or not. If you're not sure, if people, or if they say, well, God's trying to teach you something by keeping you sick. See, most of us know better. God doesn't do that. It's not his will. Jesus died. His blood was shed for our healing as well as everything. I mean, it's all part of the covenant. 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 Tithing is a covenant thing. So the Lord's like, he's been getting it back into the earth, down through generations and generations that didn't believe this and they didn't believe that. They didn't believe in healing. They didn't even believe that you could get saved or that you could know whether you were one of the people that were saved. He had to get that back into the earth after the Dark Ages. So he's been down through the years getting revelation back into the earth that you can be saved. And then it really started speeding up in the last couple hundred years, especially the last hundred or so. Baptized in the Holy Spirit back into the earth. Speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, getting those things back into the earth. Boy, the enemy tried to shut all those things down. And the Lord had to reveal it to generations of people that would finally get a hold of it. And finally, oh yeah, that's God's will. He said one of the toughest ones is healing. Is another one. He finally had to get that back into the earth. Healing. It's God's will. Healing. He said one of the toughest ones is financial blessing. Prosperity. See, there's a lot of people don't like that word. Not in church. Yeah, prosperity preacher. Yep. That's what I am. That's what he is. That prosperity is supposed to be yours. It's supposed to be yours. It's ours. And we have been, the body of Christ has just been trained not to believe that we could have anything. Or if you do, you're probably covetous or greedy. And the Lord says, no. It's normal to have desires. It's normal to want to take care of your family. It's normal. All those things he put in there are normal. It's normal to want to be well. It's normal to want to prosper. It's not greedy. It's not something you have to go and repent for. It's a sin to be covetous. It's a sin to be greedy. It's a sin. There's lots of sins. It's a sin not to obey God because you... Okay, how do I put this into words? Lord, this is for us. This is for me, okay? But in the ministry. Because the Lord said you can't serve God and mammon. And mammon is an actual demon, a demonic entity. And that blew them away because they believed that it was God's will for them to prosper. It's like, oh, no, you don't want us to prosper? Yes, but don't serve money. Don't serve that thing. There are times in our life in ministry where the Lord has told us to do this or that. Whatever he's told us to do, we had to make a decision whether we were going to serve God or money or lack of money. There's another way of saying it. Mammon, that demonic entity, will keep you broke if you'll let it. That's its job, is to boss you around and determine your life by how much money you have. And determine whether or not you'll actually do what the Lord told you to do based on whether you seem to have the money to do it. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? How many things would we have done if we had the money to do it? I mean, seriously, if money were no object, what would you be doing right now? I mean, I know people that literally were called into the ministry and did not do it because they needed enough money to raise their kids and stuff, and they just didn't see that happening if they went in the ministry. And they're probably right, because people are so hard-hearted about money in the church. He told me that there's financial woundedness. That people's hearts are so tangled up with their money, because that's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because he's talking about the heart. Everything Jesus ever talked about when he taught, he took stuff from the Old Testament, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the blessings. He took all of these Old Testament things, turned it around, and turned it into a heart issue. Like adultery, for instance. He turned it into a heart issue. It doesn't matter if you actually did the behavior. It's what's going on in your heart. And that's also the issue about money. So many people have a problem in their hearts about money. He said people are wounded. You know, he said, show me your money and I'll show you your heart. Where do you put your money? I was even writing a song about that. And I don't think it's time for that song yet. He said, don't be flippant when you talk about money to the people, because they have been so brutalized and wounded by people who supposedly represent God. Oh, yeah, I was saying they were talking about preachers. It just people who should be ministers. They should be pastoring, and they chose not to because of money. Yeah, you can't serve God and mammon. Is this still making sense? I'm trying to stay on subject. Man, there's so many different directions you can go. But there's so much financial woundedness in people. And then you got the pastors that are are afraid to obey God because the people with the money might not like what they're doing and withhold their offerings, and, or worst yet, leave and take their money with them. You see how money has been used all over the place. At work, I mean, if your job is being threatened by someone at work, I mean, that's your whole life could be affected. He said there's pain involved with money. There's pride involved with money. People are embarrassed when you talk about money, especially if they don't have as much as they should have or think they should have, or things aren't in their life isn't really like they believed it should be. And the Lord said it's His will to bless His people financially, because that's the one area they have been so brutalized, so hurt. He says, I want them to know how much that I love them. And it's such a heart issue. I want them to experience the joy of a father who loves them so much that he sent his son, not just for their sins, not just for their healing, but also so that they could prosper and be blessed. That he loves people that much. He said, that's the good news that we're to preach to the poor. God loves you. You don't have to be poor. I give to the poor. I do. I believe in it. But I also believe in telling them how much God loves them. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to. But the whole thing is, it's a supernatural thing where you have to walk in. You have to. Let me use different terms. You get to walk in an anointing, in a level. Oh, wow. Lord. When I woke up from that very first dream, he was talking to me about it. I saw preachers, and he said, there's preachers that, he says, my people don't know how to walk in this level of finances that I call them to walk in. They're walking in the natural. They're walking on a plane that's lower than what I've called them to walk in. My people should be the ones in charge of the money. My people should be the billionaires on this planet that are calling the shots. My people should be the one. But they're walking down here, and they don't know how to lay hold of what I've given them. They know how to, pretty much about a lot of other things. They know how to get their prayers answered, except about money. There's so many different angles to it that the enemy has just tried to block every single thing. Everything. If you take away anything from this today, cogitate on this. He loves you so much. He wants to prosper you, and it's not like you have to prove anything to him. When it comes to your healing, all you got to do is believe God and walk in it. That's all. And that's how it is for finances. Believe God and walk in it. I can't tell you how many times the Lord told us to do something, and we said, okay, and didn't even have the money in our hand as we went out the door. We have to, you know, he says, just don't look down. It's just money. It's just money. It's just how many thousands, Lord? It's just money. But I have given it an assignment. It follows you. And provision is also part of it. It follows you. We preached when we first went in the ministry. Oh, we had a motorhome. And the kids were little. I mean, we're talking babies. And one night we preached in a city in Oregon and up in the mountains. And then we had to drive home after the meeting because we didn't have enough money to stay in a motel that night, just for the one night, whatever it was. Anyway, Mike had just poured himself out, preaching to the people. We did get kind of an offering there, but most of it was checks. I mean, there was no cash, and nobody back then would take a check for gas. An out-of-town check. So, it was, I don't even think it was a quarter of a tank of gas that we had in that motorhome. And I told Mike, my God supplies, we always say this to each other. We talk this way to each other. My God supplies all my needs and yours. I told him, just go ahead and go to sleep. I'll drive. And I drove, I white-knuckle drove. It was 100 miles from home. I drove a motorhome. You know, a gas guzzling, well, it got pretty good gas mileage. It was like 11 miles per gallon, right? You know, Mike was sleeping above me on the, it was one of those cab over things, and the kids were in the bunks in the back, and I was driving in the middle of the night, and I was praying in tongues, and we passed a sign. I said the name of our town, and it said 63 miles, and I'm driving through there, and the needle is just lying there under the empty. It's just lying there. There's nothing in the tank. It doesn't, and there's not even fumes. I mean, it's just lying there. So I just covered it up. And I started praying in tongues, and I prayed all the way. I drove that thing all the way home. Actually, I drove it until we got to the first gas station in town, and I said with my mouth, there's a couple times it tried to run out of gas, and I refused to pull over. I just did. I would not pull over. There were people behind me. I don't care. I just told the Lord, you have to be this way. I told the Lord, your word says that you supply all of our need, and we obeyed you, and we went. And so you're helping me drive this thing home, right? I'm not pulling over. This motorhome is not allowed to run out of gas, period. And it tried to just, you know, that awful feeling. And I refused to pull over. Nope. My God supplies all my need. And it would start up again, and off we go. I drove, it did that twice, and the people behind me were like, what? And then we got to a gas station, and out loud I said, I wonder if they take a check. And the moment I said those words, boom, that thing just stopped. And we just coasted in front of the pump, and it stopped. That was it. 100 miles on less than a quarter of a tank. He will do whatever he has to do to keep his word to you. And he loves it. He loves that kind of fight in his people. He loves it when you take a stand and say, I am not taking no for an answer. He loves it. He loves it when his people walk in authority. He loves when we believe him. He's absolutely so delighted. And we're his jewels when we do that. You know, he's just like, yes, I found someone who believes me. And so like, Lord, I want to be the biggest blessing possible to you. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just keep your word to me. That's all I ask. And I know you will. I mean, what are you going to do? Lie? No. And I'm trying to do Groucho Marx. No, I'm not going to do that. I know. I have to stop myself from going into little comedy routines. Well, sometimes it's helpful when people get a little nervous about what you're talking about. Just make a joke or something. Sometimes it doesn't help. Sometimes it does. You can tell I'm not a preacher, right? Financial anointing, supernatural finances, it's an anointing, and it's also a grace. See, that's why I have to write the book. There's so many chapters, probably more than one book. He said, honor the Lord with your substance, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow. What the Amplified says, with wine and oil. He wants you to have more than enough. More than enough. Everything in life should be more than enough for the people of God. Then when the world sees us, they get jealous. Seriously, God's going to raise up a tribe of people that will believe him and not be afraid, because that's also what happens is when you start getting blessed financially, you start getting persecuted by your brethren and your sister. Okay, that's not the correct usage of that word, people. You have to be prepared. When you obey God, no matter what you do, you got to be prepared for persecution. So you might as well just be blessed and enjoy it. And, you know, God will take care of it. And a biggie, too. A lot of times I've heard, like, it's back to me, that so-and-so, especially preachers that preach against other people like us because we believe in prosperity. You know, those prosperity preachers. So we send them $500 or more. It shuts them up. It's a really good feeling. Authority and money goes together. It's an adventure, and God wants his people to enjoy it and not continually be ripped off anymore. In fact, I rebuke that spirit of robbery off the people of God. Everybody in this room, everyone listening to this right now, if you're still there, I rebuke robbery and the persecution that's becoming against your finances and all of the financial pressure that you have been having to deal with for so long. I rebuke all of the financial woundedness. I rebuke the brokenness. I rebuke the disobedience, which was not intentional because a lot of people just didn't know that God would back them up. Lord God, reveal your kindness and your love to your people. Reveal to them how much you love them in a way that's tangible. Bless your people financially. And I truly pray that everyone associated with this ministry receives this anointing, that we would be known as being a prosperous bunch. Bring it, Lord. I release it on the people of God. I release it. I release it. I release it. I don't think there's anyone in this room that doesn't need it. Including us. In Jesus' name, supernatural. It's supernatural.
Okay, that's our show for today. I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. I also want to thank the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network for making this possible. We appreciate you guys, and I'll see you guys next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network.